Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Prithu Maharaja's meeting with the Kumaras, text number 27.
26 or something.
Oh?
It says 26.
26?
Yeah.
26. Hare Muhus Tatpara?
No.
Yada Rati Brahmani Naishtiki Puman? Okay, yeah, 26. Yada Rati Brahmani Naishtiki Puman? Acharya van jnana viragaram asa.
Acharya van jnana viragaram
asa. Dahatya viryam hridayam jiva kusham.
Dahatya viryam jiva kusham.
Panchatmakam jonim ivotito ni.
Panchatmakam jonim ivotito ni.
Yada rati brahmani naishtiki puman.
Yada rati brahmani naishtiki puman.
Acharya vangyana viragaram hasa.
Acharya vangyana viragaram hasa.
Tahatya viryam hridayam jiva kosam. Panchatmakam jonim ivotito ni.
Panchatmakam jonim ivotito ni.
Yada rati brahmani naishtiki puman.
Yada rati brahmani naishtiki puman.
Acharya van jnana viragaram asa.
Acharya van jnana
Tahatya viryam hridayam jiva kosham.
Tahatya viryam hridayam jiva kosham.
Panchatmakam jonim ivotito gni.
Panchatmakam jonim ivotito gni.
Okay. Yada.
Yada.
When.
When.
Pratihi.
Pratihi.
Attachment.
Attachment.
Brahmani.
Brahmani.
In the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Naishtiki. Fixed. Puman. The person. Acharyavan.
Acharyavan.
Completely surrendered to the spiritual master. Jnana, knowledge, viraga, detachment,
ramhasa,
by the force of
dahati,
burns, aviryam, impotent, hridayam, within the heart, jiva kosham. The covering of the spirit soul. Pancha Atmakam. Five elements. Jonim. Source of birth.
Iva.
Like.
Like.
Udhitaha.
Udhitaha.
Emanating.
Emanating.
Agnihi.
Agnihi.
Fire.
Fire.
Upon becoming fixed in his attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by the grace of the spiritual master, and by awakening knowledge and detachment, the living entity situated within the heart of the body and covered by the five elements burns up his material surroundings exactly as fire arising from wood burns the wood itself. Purport. It is said that both the Jivatma, the individual soul, and the Paramatma live together within the heart. In the Vedic version, it is stated, Hridi, hi ayam atma. The soul and supersoul both live within the heart. The individual soul is liberated when it comes out of the material heart or cleanses the heart to make it spiritualized. The example given here is very appropriate. Yonim evotito nihi. Agni, or fire, comes out of wood, and by it the wood is completely destroyed. Similarly, when a living entity increases his attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is to be considered like fire. A blazing fire is visible by its exhibition of heat and light. Similarly, when a living entity within the heart becomes enlightened with full spiritual knowledge and detached from the material world, he burns up his material covering of the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, and becomes free from the five kinds of material attachments, namely ignorance, false egoism, attachment to the material world, envy, and absorption in material consciousness. Therefore, panchatmakam, as mentioned in this verse, refers to either the five elements or the five coverings of material contamination. When these are all burned into ashes by the blazing fire of knowledge and detachment, one is fixed firmly in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and advances one's attraction for Krishna by the spiritual master's instructions, the five coverings of the living entity cannot be uncovered from the material heart. The living entity is centered within the heart, and to take him away from the heart is to liberate him. This is the process. One must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and by his instruction increase one's knowledge in devotional service, become detached from the material world and thus become liberated. An advanced devotee, therefore, does not live within the material body, but within his spiritual body. Just as a dry coconut lives detached from the coconut husk, even though within the husk. The pure devotee's body is therefore called Chinmaya Sharira, spiritualized body, In other words, a devotee's body is not connected with material activities, and as such, a devotee is always liberated. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, text 26. Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī also confirms this. Iha yasya harer tasye kamana manasa gira nikalas vapyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. Whatever his condition may be, one who is engaged fully with his body, mind and speech in the service of the Lord is liberated even within the body. Excuse me. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmaye Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Tadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pankum Langayate Garim Yad Kripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So, the first point that Prabhupada makes here is that the individual soul and the Paramatma reside within the heart. Ridhi hi ayam atma. And that residence within the heart is, in most living entities, covered. Jiva kosham, panch atmakam. And that's the five coverings of the material elements. Earth, water, fire, air, and sky. Or ignorance, false ego, attachment, envy, and absorption in material consciousness. So it's the usual state of consciousness. Aham, mameti, I and mine, based around the bodily concept of life. And so this is considered to be a form of entrapment or a form of engagement, or it's a form of bondage. And it's a limited condition state of consciousness of being. And There needs to be an understanding that there's more to existence than just the workings of the material body. That there's something beyond there's something beyond our, there's some purpose beyond just eating, sleeping, seeking out sense gratification and defending ourselves. And this is a common feature of existence that the human beings share with the animals: eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But that's entanglement and bondage, encagement. And it's that state of that awareness that there's a greater purpose in life is the impetus for the practice of activities or the performance of activities that will free us from that bondage of simply thinking that we're the body. I am an Australian. I love my country. There's probably an Indian version of that. It's a song. Did they teach you that at school, Prana? I am an Australian. I love my country. Huh? You must have gone to school. How old are you?
57.
You must have gone to school a few years after me. I love a sunburnt country.
I remember.
So we identify with this body. The body comes from the land, right? They have something similar in German.
Yeah,
everybody does. Every country does. Everybody relates to the body and to the earth and the water and so forth. That it appears that we've come from. That's what it looks like. Why it's recommended that we have to see with the eye of Shastra, because if we look simply with material eyes, then and because the spiritual is beyond, the spiritual realm is beyond our purview, and why we need special type of activities that are not based on material existence but are based on a perception of things beyond the material senses. Which is interesting, because even the practices of bhakti, it's difficult to ascertain the difference between them and the material activities. There's a cultivation of knowledge, there's still the performance of activities like eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. It looks the same. But because the activities of bhakti have a spiritual source, they're actually activities that come from the spiritual world. Those same activities that are performed within the confines, if you like, of the material energy, but and with the same material body, because they've come from the spiritual realm, they're not actually material activities, but they're purely spiritual activities, and they're imbued with spiritual potency, and so therefore they're the end result of the performance of bhakti is thank you. This is what happens when you use wires. make noises. The activities of the bhakta performed in bhakti have a liberating effect. And so the result is very different. If one's absorbed in material activities and material consciousness, then one gets bound up more and more in this mentality of aham mamati, I and mine. A song by the Beatles. I, me, mine. All over the world, I, me, mine. It was probably George Harrison who wrote that song, I suspect. Because he was associating with the devotees at that time. All over the world, I, me, mine. So more material activities just get us bound up more and more in these five coverings. Panchatmakam. But the performance of bhakti, spiritual activities, is described here or likened to what? What is it compared to? Fire, yes, Agni. Agni. And also another word is used here. Jnana Viraga Ramhasa. That's interesting. Prabhupada says here, the example given here is very appropriate. Yonim evotitognihi. That's at the end. Agni or fire comes out of wood, and by it the wood is completely destroyed. So, you know, we have the saying, he's fired up. Right? Enthused by the performance of bhakti. And of course, the key is here. What is the key? Does anybody know what the key is to be fired up? Prabhupada mentions in the purport. Acharyaman Jnana Viraga Ramhasa. So Prabhupada says here, one who's surrendered to the spiritual master, the Acharya, right? Then what happens? Jnana Viraga Ramhasa. One becomes learned and one becomes detached from this material consciousness, the material covering. And what's the other qualification? Naishtiki. What does naishtiki mean? Nishta. What's nishta? Steady. Steady. Yadarati brahmani naishtiki puman. So the person, puman, who's attached to Krishna, right? Brahmani naishtiki. He's attached to Krishna, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Completely surrendered to the spiritual master. Jnana Viraga Ramasa. By the force of knowledge and detachment, burns up (clears throat) the covering. These coverings are burnt up by attachment to Krishna, which gives rise to knowledge and renunciation. Which comes from following the orders of the spiritual master. Right? So in one sense here, the key, the important point is taking shelter of the spiritual master, which is the first of the 64 items of bhakti, as recommended by Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Ado Guru Pad Ashraya. Is that right? Yeah. So this is the key, the secret. The secret to liberation, the key to bhakti, is to have full faith in and to take shelter of the spiritual master. And how do we do that? When we say one has got the mercy of the guru, what does that mean? Does it mean that he touched you on the head? Ooh, I got the mercy. What they call shakti pat. Huh? So what is the mercy of the guru? Prabhupada mentions it in the purport. What's the mercy of the guru?
Instructions.
Here. One must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and by his instruction increase one's knowledge in devotional service. Become detached from the material world and thus become liberated. This is the process. This is the process. So we're situated in this, in the heart, along with the super soul. But that heart is a covering that needs to be, that we need release from. Because in the conditioned state, we're just thinking, I am the body. But we see when a person follows the process of bhakti, then they transcend. We transcend the effects of the material coverings and we're elevated to a position of spiritual transcendental consciousness, what we call Krishna consciousness. And it arises naturally within the heart. For somebody who follows the process of bhakti, then these qualities manifest automatically. So long as one follows the order of the spiritual master. What's that verse? Shastri teacher training course the other day, and there's an exercise where you have to you mention the importance of Shastric knowledge and then you recite the verse, right? That's one. There's a learning experience. But then this is an example where you cite the verse but then forget it. So when one follows the process of bhakti, then automatically knowledge, renunciation and devotion, bhakti, manifest within the heart. These are natural features of the practice of bhakti, that knowledge and renunciation and devotion will automatically manifest. But what's required? A strong faith in the spiritual master, and as a consequence of that faith, then following the instructions explicitly and implicitly. This is what's required. And this is where the struggle of bhakti exists. We were talking about this yesterday. At the stage of bhajana kriya and then anatta nivritti. Right? And where there's lacking in faith in the order of the spiritual master and a lack of faith will bring about an attachment to things material. And so therefore then there's an internal struggle in the heart of the devotee. And why one then has to follow the practice of bhakti, the process of bhakti, strictly, and build the faith. Because Rupa Goswami describes how the development of bhakti is a cultivation and it's a development of faith. And one needs to have full faith in the order of the spiritual master and in the practice of, or in the adherence to following the instruction of the guru. But there's a weakness of heart whereby one doesn't have full faith in the spiritual master, and as a consequence then falls back into the performance of material activities again. This is the anatta nivritti, giving up. And so therefore we have the guidelines from Rupa Goswami: utsahan nischaya darya tat tat kama pravartanat. The six items of surrender, or the six items that nourish bhakti: enthusiasm, determination, patience, giving up bad association, giving up greed for material what's the other six? Achahara prayasascha prajopaniya magraha jana sangha chaloliam cha shad bhakti vinashyati. So, Prabhupada says here, unless one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and advances one's attraction for Krishna, by the spiritual master's instructions, the five coverings of the living entity cannot be uncovered from the material heart. So one has to have full faith in the order of the spiritual master and then pursue that with enthusiasm, determination, patience, because we've been conditioned for a long time. And it's a fact, you know, you can chant Hare Krishna and destroy more sinful reactions than you can create, right, from the chanting of Hare Krishna. And we've experienced it. We experience the prema bhakti by chanting Hare Krishna, by associating with the devotees, by hearing the Bhagavatam, by worshipping the deity, by residing in a sacred place. We experience the prema bhakti. But then the next morning we wake up and we think, oh no, I've got to do it all over again. Right, so there's still that conditioning, which is what Prabhupada says, one of the reasons why we follow the archana process, right? Why we follow the Pancharatriki, or the Pancharatra process that's given by Narada Muni, right? Why we worship the deity, is to keep ourselves in a pure state of consciousness. Because even though chanting Hare Krishna puts us on the level of prema bhakti, at the same time, we also see that devotees will fall back into material consciousness, even after years of practice of bhakti. They still fall back, right? And it's because of not having full faith in the order of the spiritual master and not following that strictly. And even when there's the performance of bhakti and there's that feeling of prema, still the material energy is very powerful. Prabhupada gives the example, or the Bhagavatam gives the example, of being on a boat. And sailing the seas. And sometimes there's favorable conditions. The wind's blowing in the right direction, the sea is calm, and you're heading towards your destination very swiftly. But then the next day there's a storm, and the waves are battering and the wind's blowing and the ship's tossing and turning, and you're not going anywhere. Anybody had that experience? So it's batten down the hatches, hang on, and you know the waves will be crashing on the boat and threatening to throw you off. And it's in those situations that one is tested. And of course, successful bhakta, the successful devotee, is one who stays fixed in the order, or following the order, and having faith in the order and instructions of the guru. And Prabhupada says, you know, if you can't remember Krishna in the trials and tribulations of material existence, and how are you going to remember Krishna at the time of death? Huh? So this attachment to the instructions of the spiritual master, why why we're recommended, as an example, to why Prabhupada recommended us regularly read his books. Huh? Why we should regularly absorb our consciousness in his instructions. Everybody agrees that Prabhupada is a bona fide spiritual master, right? This is why he put so much effort into writing his books. And we had that question the other day, yesterday. You know, we hear that hearing. We hear that hearing is the most important. Shravanadi. Hearing, it begins with hearing. Shuddha chitte, our consciousness is purified by hearing. So is reading as good? I just happened to be reading the Krishna Katamrita Bindu from last Ekadasi, because I hadn't read it. And there's an excerpt in that book, Katamrita Bindu, from the writings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying how the written form of the sound vibration is the deity form. By the way, it's pretty far out. It's the deity form of the instructions of the sadhus. And of course, the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I mentioned this we had a meeting yesterday. I mentioned this to devotees. And I think was it Gopa mentioned that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on a few occasions, had the printing press right next to the deity room in the temple, right? Even, isn't it interesting? You know, in the Lilamrita, when they established the first printing press in ISKCON, and Prabhupada came in and paid his obeisances to the printing press. They were thinking, "What's Prabhupada paying his obeisances to the printing press?" Because the written form or the printed form of the instructions is worshipable. That's pretty far out, isn't it? When you think about it. But it's the order of the Guru. It's the order of Krishna. And as Prabhupada, you know, joked with the devotees here, although he's probably quite serious, he was serious, you know, you think my books are just for selling. But of course, the first purpose is this distribution of transcendental knowledge. No. Mahalakshmi was asking me yesterday, you know, should I learn how to do the offerings and how to do the deity worship? She wants to become a brahmana. I want to be a brahmana. Shouldn't I learn how to worship the deities? But then I was thinking, I said, do what you're good at doing. You know, she's a fantastic book distributor. But then I was thinking, actually, that is brahminical activity. Brahminical activity is distributing transcendental knowledge. Right? Worshipping the deity is important. There's no doubt about that, because that's part of our purification. But also worshipping the transcendental order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is to give Krishna consciousness to others, that's also brahminical activity. Huh? Okay, there seems to be some commercial element of book distribution. And there is. There is, obviously. But what's the prime motivation for performing that activity? It's to give transcendental knowledge to others. That's what we do it for. There are the necessities of paying for the printing and paying for electricity, gas, bricks and mortar, so forth. Petrol for your car, we have to. And so we do that. We have to. It's very interesting. Srila Prabhupada was very pragmatic in his pursuit of spiritual life, if you like, or preaching, basically preaching. And, you know, part of any kind of existence is making sure that you pay the rent or pay the bills. And we shouldn't think of that as some material activity. It's not. It looks like it's material activity, but collecting money, there's that quotation, is it in the Nectar of Devotion? Where Prabhupada talks about how devotees are selling books, making members, collecting funds. Huh? These activities are not actually material. Why? Because Prabhupada says that devotees are always thinking of Krishna. Well, who am I doing it for? Of course, when we start thinking I'm doing it for myself, we have to be careful. But when these activities are performed with the right consciousness, and of course that means, for us, that means proper sadhana. In fact, that's our main business. Our main business. Our main business is book distribution, yes, but before that, our main business, our routine business is rising early, worshipping the deity, chanting Hare Krishna, studying the Bhagavatam, honouring prasadam. These are all of the activities that make our consciousness focused on pleasing Krishna. And focused on the order of the instruction of the spiritual master. And we have to keep that focus or that intensity when we're a neophyte and quite possibly suffering from the utsahamahi, was it puffed up with enthusiasm? It's called, right? And that's what happens when we first meet the devotees and we chant Hare Krishna. We're super fired up because we're feeling the ecstasy of the relief from material existence. But as we make progress in devotional service, and of course, then what happens in the beginning? We feel like we're Superman, right? And we're super fired up. What we call a rara. Or what we used to call a rah-rah. We don't have so many rah-rahs these days. But even if one's a so-called older devotee, and especially, you know, we're now getting over many years over, or at least a number of years over 50, then we have to struggle with material existence. You know, when you're 23... you can eat anything, digest rocks, right? Live on 3 hours of sleep a day. And, you know, you feel like you can conquer the world, right? But then when you get to 63, then you start to realize how much you're a conditioned soul and totally fallible. Is that right, Prana?
Well,
I'm
63.
<All right>. Yeah. So one has to be steady through all the ups and downs. We have to be steady. And that requires this faith in the guru and following the instructions. Huh? And maintaining that faith. We saw that with Srila Prabhupada. It's just amazing to think of the fact that Srila Prabhupada started preaching in the West at the age of 69. That is just so You know, as we approach that age, then it's just it is such an incredible achievement. And of course, Prabhupada was fixed. Prabhupada was given the instruction by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to preach in English in the Western countries when he was 23, wasn't it? Was it 23? And he wasn't actually able to pursue that effectively until he was 69. Wow! That is far out when you think about it. Huh? How did he do that? What an inspiration. But he's the embodiment of this. And that's why, you know, we have to maintain that faith and that adherence to the order of the spiritual master all through life. When we're young, it's relatively easy. But as we get older, it gets harder. But we still have to maintain that, to exist on a spiritual platform. And the key here is, as Prabhupada says, get to be out of the material coverings, one has to be fired up. And if you want to be fired up, then you have to follow the order of the guru. Have faith and stick to the order of the spiritual master. Does anybody have any comments or questions? There is more I could speak on, but I better not.
You mentioned that there is time when initially you feel very fired up, and after that it goes up and down. I have experienced that. Like someday I'm very.
You're in good company.
Okay. But I really struggle sometimes to understand that why does it happen heaps of times.
Why does it happen?
Why do I not feel anything when I come into temple, and someday I just am very attracted to the deities, too much into kirtan, I want to read and everything. But someday I'm just sitting there patiently, but it doesn't. Okay.
Why? We are tatashta shakti, which means marginal. And Prabhupada gives the example. It's like sitting on the beach. Right? Sometimes when a tide comes in, you're underwater. Right? It's a struggle. But sometimes you're sitting more on land, and so you're dry and free from the influence of the pull of. Has anybody been to a beach where there's a strong rip? In December we went to a place called Kananda in South Australia, where I used to go as a kid, and it's a beach where you do not go for a swim. You do not. And the wave, because it's coming off the Southern Ocean, and the waves always, there's a roar of the water. So I remember as a kid, and you can feel it just pulling you in. Well, this is material energy. Of course, if you're standing right up on the top of the beach, then the pull of the material energy, if you like, isn't as strong. So the material energy is attractive. It's Krishna's energy. Daivihi esha gunamayi mama maya darachaya, but very difficult to overcome. But when we come into the association of the devotees, we become super enthusiastic, because we realize that there is a release from the material energy. It is possible to get free from the pull of the material energy. But that doesn't mean that the material energy still doesn't have its pulling power. It does. Right? It's attractive. And so, and the fact that the material energy pulls us is not a bad thing, because it's actually it's a test. Right? And that test, even though we may fail it on occasion, we still have the opportunity to take shelter of the order of the spiritual master, take the association of the devotees, absorb ourselves in chanting, hear the Bhagavatam. These are the really potent activities that pull us out of the clutches of the material energy and put us on the spiritual platform, right? And so even though sometimes it looks like we're not making any progress, still actually we're making, it's just like, you know, if you're flying, the process of bhakti is so potent, it's like flying in an aeroplane. You know, when you're 32,000 feet up in the air and you look down, it doesn't look like you're going anywhere at all, right? But actually you're travelling along at 800, 900 kilometres an hour. Huh? So really going very fast. But if you look down, oh God, how long is it going to be before we get to where we're going? Right? And so therefore, sometimes it looks like we're not making any advancement, or we're not making any progress, because material energy is still attractive. But it will always be attractive. What we've got to do is keep, even when the going is tough, what's the saying? When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Even though it appears like we're not making any progress, we've still got to stick at it, because actually we're making rapid progress. Yes, there will be occasions where we feel like we're not making any progress, and the chanting of Hare Krishna is like chewing on cardboard, right? Very dry and no nourishment. But that's actually not a bad thing. That's actually a test that makes us stronger. And so we should always keep faith in the order of the spiritual master, and stay in the association of the devotees, chant Hare Krishna in the association of devotees, hear the Bhagavatam in the association of the devotees, and by that process we'll be able to work through those occasions where it appears like we're not going anywhere. And we'll gradually make progress. Anybody else want to comment on that? Good question. Yeah, sure.
So sometimes I'm studying at the moment, and I was working last year as well. So sometimes you hear devotees say, "This is your service to study for Krishna at the moment," or actually Guru Maharaj said that, or work for Krishna. So that's your bhakti. But I just heard from Bhakti Vikashvara Maharaj, like he said, that it is bhakti when, back in the Vedic time, when there was a Vaishnava system established, but right now there is just everything is upside down, including studying and the workplace. So it's just, there is no Vaishnava system. The education, where I'm studying right now, is all based on atheism, and it's propagating the godless consciousness. So how to kind of remain enthusiastic, not just in devotional service, but how to continue performing your duty without being disturbed materially, because it's very hard, because of the association that we get, the knowledge that we get, completely opposite to what you experience in the temple.
In association with You need to have faith in the order of the spiritual master and faith in the process of bhakti. It's a jungle out there, full of ferocious animals. Our work colleagues, for example. Well, they are ferocious in one sense, right? They're eating meat. That's ferocious, isn't it? When you think about it, right? They'll gobble you up if they can. If you're a threat, they'll try to destroy you. Competition, it's a jungle. But when we're in the association, and actually even in the association of devotees, sometimes there's conflict. Huh? And so you know, we can fall into the trap of thinking, oh, the devotees are just like the karmis. And lose faith even in the devotees. Politics in the spiritual world are pretty vicious too. You experienced any of those, Prana? Hey? What was that?
I've experienced politics, but I'm not sure if it was in the spiritual.
But it is, because it's the devotees. It is. It is. Devotees are not material, they're spiritual. So, yes. I think there's no there's nothing to compare to the association of the devotees. There's nothing to compare to the chanting of Hare Krishna, the pure chanting of Hare Krishna, and the recitation of the Bhagavatam, because the Bhagavatam has all the principles of bhakti in it. And so our real life, our real business is chanting Hare Krishna, worshipping the deity, all of the basic practices that we perform, especially the morning program. That's where we build our spiritual body, spiritual form. But at the same time, we're living in the material world. We're spirit souls in the material world. And our sadhana is tested by interacting with nature, with the material energy, but on the basis of our understanding that we're not the body. And that's why it's interesting, because Prabhupada quotes this verse at the end. Iha yasya are dasye. Kamana, our activities, right? So if one performs his activities in the mood of a servant, hare dasye, right? Hari das. We perform all of our activities in the mood of being a servant of Krishna. Kamana, manasa, gira, using three things: our actions, our thoughts, and our words. Right? One who does so, even in a difficult situation. And see, these difficult situations are meant to test us. And to strengthen, and by that test we're strengthened. Right? We have to be tested. You know, we think, oh yeah, I'm a great devotee, but then we're driving down the street and we see, you know, ooh, that guy's Porsche looks good. I wouldn't mind one of those. Huh? Chinchwimba was telling me yesterday how we're living in a very wealthy suburb. So last night when I was on a japa walk and I came home down Ashworth Street. Now, Ashworth Street is a really interesting contrast, because we're living in Albert Park, so, you know, we're all... But there's the Housing Commission flats, right? But then alongside, we've got $2-3 million apartments and homes, right? So I was walking down the street And then I saw the new Jaguar SUV. Have you seen it? Okay. When I was a boy, because I guess I'm a bit of a, I was a boy's boy, I used to look at motor cars. Well, I still do. So I saw a new Jag. I thought, whoa, there's a Jag. And then I walked only about 30 metres down the road, and then there was another one. And these are new. They've only been out for a few months, right? At least in my observation of things. Huh? So, ooh, and the first one I saw was white. And I thought, just white. Couldn't afford a more fancy one. Then the one down the road, it was like a maroon. And I thought, ooh, this guy's got more money. Or he's more in debt. Because, you know, they've got these cars. But that doesn't mean they paid cash for them. They were working like a... Oh, they're working like a donkey to pay off these things, right? So we have to check ourselves. You know, it's interesting what we were discussing yesterday. We've made a commitment. I'm going to be a devotee, and we're super enthusiastic, but we will be tested, and our conditioning is still there. So we need a very strong sadhana, basically, to keep that focused consciousness so that we don't get distracted. Right? And we'll be tested. We have to work. Right? Arjuna didn't want to fight. But Krishna made the point, or made the comment to him, what will repression accomplish? You will still act. Right? So we have to act, but we need to purify our consciousness. And we do that, Lord Brahma says, and it's tested and strengthened by the fire of ordeal. Right? So what is it? Theistic conduct? Well, there's five things that Lord Brahma mentions in the end of the Brahma Samhita. Do you remember what they are? Hang on. I can tell you. I think I can tell you. If I can't remember it, I can look it up. Hopefully. Maybe, maybe not. Is there a... Oh, there's maybe not a Brahma Samhita there. Let's just get it. Sri Brahma Samhita Slokas. Here we go. Listen to this. This is fantastic. When the pure spiritual experience is excited by means of cognition and service, right? That's called bhakti. Cognition and service. Super excellent, unalloyed devotion, characterized by love for Godhead, is awakened toward Krishna, the beloved of all souls. So the performance of bhakti, right, gives rise to the pure spiritual experience. But, and what is that? Pramanais tad sad acharais. Tad abhyasar nirantaram bodayan atmanatmanam bhaktim apyutamam labhet. The highest devotion. Is achieved by slow degrees. Right? So we think when we experience some ecstasy in the kirtan, that we've suddenly become a prema bhakta. And we have. We've got a time. But it's a bit, Prabhupada said, it's a bit like, you know, a businessman hands out free samples to attract people. Right? But that's not actually the real thing. It's just a sample. If you want to have the real thing, you've got to pay the price. This is just a sample. So, the highest devotion is attained by slow degrees. How? By the method of constant endeavor. For self-realization, with the help of scriptural evidence, theistic conduct, and perseverance in practice. No, it's not the. I mean, it's relevant to what. These preliminary practices of devotion, sadhana bhakti, are conducive to the realization of loving devotion, than whom there is no superior well-being, who goes hand in hand with the attainment of the exclusive state of supreme bliss, and who can lead to myself. It's not exactly what I was looking for, but it's relevant. But Lord Brahma states elsewhere in the Brahma Samhita, by the fire of ordeal we'll be tested. But that actually strengthens us. So these difficulties that you experience in the workplace test our devotion. Right? And then when we realize, whoa, I didn't do too well in that test, we go back then to our sadhana. Right? Chanting Hare Krishna. Associating with the devotees. Hearing the Bhagavatam. So that we can remain fixed. Even despite the most difficult circumstances, we've still got to remain fixed. So those tests actually are teaching us, I'm not as advanced as I thought I was. I'm not as big a devotee as I thought I was. I'd better trim myself down to size. Which means, das, anudas, or das, anudas, right? And rededicate ourselves to strengthening our consciousness. So, it's not bad, it's good. Bad is good. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, those who praise you are your enemies. Huh? We need to be told, you're no good. And which is why we see in the personality of Srila Prabhupada, he didn't think of himself as... This is the Mahabhagavat, doesn't think of himself as the most advanced, he thinks of himself as the most fallen. Even though he is the most advanced. All right, we should finish here. Gantarashima Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sadhana bhakti ki jai.